It's not often that people are taken at their word anymore, but Skip Heitzig says there's still someone we can depend on to make good on his word every single time.
You can take God's promises to the bank. You can lean on them. You can trust them. The question is, do you? Do you? The Bible has 31,173 verses in it. That's about 23 in the Old and 8,000 verses in the New. You put all those verses together and extract only the promises that God made to mankind, and you come up with a grand total of 7,487 promises God made to you and to me. That's enough to live on, isn't it?
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study.
A few years back, a woman in rural Mexico used a kitchen knife to give herself a C-section in order to make sure her baby survived. And don't worry, both the mom and the baby lived, and it's the only documented case of that happening. It's an amazing story, but no more so than the delivery of a child by a woman over 90 years old. We'll hear more about that miraculous story today here on The Connection. But before Skip Heitzig begins, we just wanted to remind you that you can listen to more studies with Skip on a wide variety of topics at our online library. From past series to topical teachings, we have over 1,200 of them online and ready for you to browse through right now. Visit connectionradio.org/library to see what's available and enjoy in-depth Bible study with Skip Heitzig anytime online. You know, children are a special gift from God, which is why mothers go to such extreme measures to preserve the life of their baby. However, few babies were quite as special as the one born to Abraham and Sarah, or at least I'm sure that's exactly the way they felt. Stay with us to find out more today.
And make the connection.
Turn to Genesis chapter 21, and as you find that spot, although the birth of a child is an amazing moment, sometimes it's a little overwhelming. Here's Skip Heitzig to get us started with a story of a man who definitely felt that way.
It was the backwoods, way out in the country, and the farmer's wife was great with child. She was about to deliver, and she went into labor. They lived too far out to take her to a hospital. So they fetched the doctor, and that's what they say in the country, go fetch the doctor. Well, the doctor came, and there was no electricity in this house. And so the doctor asked the father-to-be to hold up the lantern while he would deliver this child. So the husband had the lantern in his hand. The doctor delivered a baby boy. The man was about to put the lantern down, and he said, nope, nope, keep that lantern up there. I think there's another one. Sure enough, number two came out, a baby girl. The doctor said, now hold it. Don't be too quick to put that lantern down. Believe it or not, I think there is a third. And yet another girl was born. And exhausted by the episode, the man went to put the lantern down. And the doctor said, I don't know how to tell you this, but there is a fourth child. At this point, the father is bewildered and he looks at the lantern. And then he turns to the doctor and he says, Doc, do you think it's the light that's attracting him? Well, that's a farmer. The birth of a child is a wonderful moment. It's a wonderful moment, but what if you're 100 years old and your wife's in her 90s? What might that be like? And that's the theme of our paragraph tonight, the first seven verses of Genesis 21, is that a son is born to a really, really old couple, the son of promise, Isaac. Look at the verses with me. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. And she also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. If this were a miniseries, this would be the season finale. Because chapter 21 is the chapter we have been anticipating all along, hasn't it? Ever since we started this series and God first made the promise, we expected, we anticipated this event. The promised son, Isaac, his name means laughter, to be born. And there's laughter and joy through this whole episode. It's not always that way when children are born. There's joy and laughter, but often birth is filled with anxiety, especially if it's your first child. You're very anxious about it. You're nervous about what might happen. I heard about a guy who called the hospital and he was panicked. He said, I'm bringing my wife in right now. This is Harold Smith. She's about to have a baby. Calm down, said the nurse. Calm down. Is this her first baby? There was a long pause. And Harold said, no, dummy, this is her husband. He just didn't get it. He was panicked. Now, you read this paragraph, and there's no sense, it would seem, of any anxiety, any panic at all. I guess when you're that old and you've waited that long for a child, it's just sheer joy. And that's what we discover here. Now, in reading chapter 21, starting it off this way, my first reaction is, it's about time. We've needed a break, because there have been several chapters stacked up where it's grim, frowning brows, grimacing over what has happened. If you think back to chapter 18, God was about ready to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham pleaded over that impending judgment. Chapter 19, judgment fell, and those cities were absolutely obliterated. Chapter 20, Abraham lapses back into an old sin of his youth. He's rebuked by an unbelieving king. It's just chapter after chapter of bad news. And now we get this wonderful setting of God providing joy and laughter for a family. And I love verse 6. God has made me to laugh. Did you know that the typical child laughs 150 times in a single day? You know how many times adults laugh? Kids laugh 150 times in a day. Adults chuckle about 15 times a day. When did we stop laughing? We know that there are health benefits. We know that laughter, believe it or not, triggers chemicals. And when you trigger chemicals, you can say triggles. It's just a new word that we just invented. That are natural painkillers and natural mood elevators. God has provided a wonderful gift. Well, follow with me, and if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you 5 things about the character of God that this story reveals to us. 5 things about the nature of God that Abraham and Sarah's response tell us. And number 1, God is reliable. Look at verse 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah. And I'm going to put the emphasis where I think it is supposed to be in this verse. As he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. We have heard chapter after chapter filled with promise after promise that God would give him a son. They've heard it for 25 years. started in chapter 12, I'm going to make you a great nation. Then on into chapter 13, where God said, your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. And then in chapter 15, he says, Abraham, go look at the stars. So shall your descendants be. And in chapter 17, my covenant will be with you and with your descendants forever. And Sarah, God said, your wife will conceive and bear you a son. And then in chapter 18, 1 year before this chapter, God showed up. There were three men, three visitors. One was the Lord. Sarah overheard the conversation. And God said, I'm coming back at a set time. And Sarah, your wife, is going to have a son. That's when Sarah laughed. Promises will get you friends, but keeping promises will keep your friends. That's why God has had so many friends for so many years, because he is reliable. And that's the point of these two verses. God did what he said he would do. That's the essence of integrity. God said it, and now it happened. And what I love about all of the story of Abraham and Sarah put together is this. Even though their sins complicated God's plan, God was still faithful and reliable to keep his promise. Do you know that God will keep his promises if he makes it regardless whether you believe those promises or not? Chapter 12, they didn't believe God. They went down to Egypt because they thought there's a famine or we need something besides trusting in God. So they went down to Egypt where Pharaoh was. In chapter 20, they repeated the sin, didn't go as far, but went all the way down to Gerar and lied about Sarah and put Sarah in harm's way, etc. And yet through all of that, God still promised a son. He didn't say, I've had it with you folks. I'm tired of this sin. I quit. The promise kept coming. In chapter 16, Sarah got everybody in trouble when she said to Abraham, take my servant Hagar and have a child through her. That's how the promise will be fulfilled. It's just so typical, isn't it? We sort of think we know what's best. We try to give God our creative alternative plan apart from God's will. And what happens? It's always a disaster. It's always a disaster. I heard of a girl who went to a computer dating service. She was very specific with what she wanted in a mate. She said, I want somebody short, who likes formal attire, and who loves water sports. And the computer sent her a penguin. She thought she knew exactly what she wanted, what she needed, and then she got a penguin. Here's my point. You may even order up a penguin. You might get an Ishmael and complicate God's plan, but God is still faithful, even though we're not. Remember that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that says, if we are faithless, God remains faithful, for God cannot deny himself. God is reliable. That's the first thing we learn here. You can take God's promises to the bank. You can lean on them. You can trust them. The question is, do you? Do you? The Bible has 31,173 verses in it. It's about 23 in the Old and 8,000 verses in the New. You put all those verses together and extract only the promises that God made to mankind, and you come up with a grand total of 7,487 promises God made to you and to me. That's enough to live on, isn't it? And so, what do you do with them? What do you do with all those grand promises of Almighty God to you? Your answer might be, I underline them. You may go a step further and say, I memorize them. Well, that's a good start, but your answer and my answer should be, I live on them. I lean completely upon them. It's a great story that is packed with a lesson. Years ago, when the Blackfoot Indians ran a whole area of Alberta, Canada, Crowfoot, the chief, allowed the Canadian Pacific Railroad to place its track across Indian country, all the way from Medicine Hat to Calgary, Alberta. In exchange for letting them use the land, the railroad gave to Crowfoot, the chief, a lifetime railroad pass. That means he could get on the railroad anytime he wanted to, ride the train anywhere he wanted to. You know what he did with that lifetime railroad pass? It is said he put it in a little leather pouch and wore it around his neck. His whole life, never once did he use it. Now, isn't that a lot like some of us? We have all of God's promises, and the best we do is put them on plaques and in cards and get nice leather pouches for our Bibles to carry them around in. But they're meant to live on because God is reliable. He's reliable. He did it because he said it. Number two, we learn that God is punctual. He's on time. Verse 2, Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. Now notice this, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Back in chapter 18, that's what God said. Abraham, I'm going to be back at the appointed time. And at that appointed time, you're going to have this child. Sometimes you wait long and hard for God to fulfill his promises to you. They waited 25 years. And that's why in Hebrews 6, we are told to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God has given you his promises, but you're going to have to add something to that. Faith and patience. We hate that second one, don't we? I trust God, but I just want him to give me patience now. I want the promise now. We wait a long time. But you know what? God is never late. God is never early. God is never behind the times or ahead of the time. He is always exactly right on time. God promised that Israel would be in Egypt 400 years. Guess how many years they were in Egypt? Good answer, 400 years. He promised that the children of Israel would be captive in Babylon for 70 years. And they were captive in Babylon for 70 years. God promised that the Messiah would show up in Jerusalem 69 weeks of years after a commandment was given to restore and rebuild that city, or 173,880 days exactly. Guess which day Jesus came in on? On the 173,880th day, not the 81st, not the 82nd, not the 72nd, exactly on time. And that's the point. God is punctual. Paul wrote in Galatians, at the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin, born under the law. That's how Jesus operated his whole life. You know, he'd always say things like, it's not my time. The time is not yet come. Now is your time, but not my time. He operated in this impeccable sense of timing. Now, why did God wait 25 years to string this couple along till they're 100 years old before they have a son? That's a fascinating thought. Well, it makes the fulfillment much more dramatic, doesn't it? You know, God will always keep his appointments with you, even if you're not seeing anything happening now, tonight, in your life. You've been praying and waiting a long time. And God will keep his appointment with you. And you say, well, why isn't anything happening? Because it's not time yet. That's why. But it will come at the right time. My father used to pick me up when I didn't have a car, and he was notoriously late. All my friends knew that I would be the last kid out front in the school because my dad was going to pick me up. He was a busy man. He was notoriously late. And some of you feel before God like that. You feel like God is just late. He could have done this so long ago, but why has he waited? That's why Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. He's always on time. Charles Spurgeon wrote, there are no loose threads in the providence of God. No stitches are dropped. No events are left to chance. The great clock of the universe keeps good time, and the whole machinery of providence moves with unerring punctuality. Let me tell you a cool little story. Happened years ago in Scotland. the Clark family, had a dream. Their dream was to move to the United States of America. It was a big task. They had 9 kids, 11 of them. Mr. Clark needed to save up enough money and get all the passports and stuff to get 11 people from Scotland to America. Well, he saved and worked hard and planned. The day came when he had all the cash. He bought passports, made reservations on a brand new ocean liner that was leaving, and they got tickets. They were all ready to go. 7 days before setting off from the dock at Liverpool, England, the youngest son was bitten by a dog. The doctor sewed up the cut, but because in those days they were afraid of rabies, the whole family had to be quarantined for 2 weeks, 14 days. They missed their ship. Mr. Clark was livid, angry, angry at God, angry at his boy, angry at that dog, until 5 days after the ship launched out, they got the news that that new unsinkable ocean liner named the Titanic, the very ocean liner they had scheduled to be on, sunk, and hundreds of lives were lost. When Mr. Clark heard that news, he hugged his son, he hugged the dog, and he thanked God that the Clark family was saved at just the right time, saved by the dog, but actually saved by the grace of God. What might seem to you like a delay may just be an appointment with destiny. So God is reliable. God is punctual. We learned something else. God is initial. That is, God does something first. He initiates and man responds. Look at verse 3. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Why did he call him that? Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old. Why did he do that? Notice, as God had commanded him. Here's the point. God acted in faithfulness and expected Abraham to act in obedience, to respond to God's initial action of being a God of blessing to him. And so he did. He named his son Isaac, because in chapter 17, God says, you're going to have a kid, you're going to call him Isaac. Yitzhak is the Hebrew, means laughter. What a reminder this kid would always be to a dad who laughed for joy, to a mom who laughed in unbelief, and to the fact that God brought joy into their family.
Isaac's presence must have been a wonderful reminder of how God keeps his promises for Abraham and Sarah. He may not have done it on their timetable, but he was faithful to his word. All he wanted was their obedience, and that's all he requires of us as well. Why? Well, because when we obey, it shows our love and our trust in him. And just like anybody else, God wants to know that those he cares for really do love and trust him. And that's all the time we have for today. But first, here's all the details on how you can order this month's exclusive resource, the revealing documentary on the occult called Shattered.
Your children are drowning. They're drowning in a flood of media. Today's youth have more ways to access more media anywhere, anytime. Just how is this deluge affecting our children? And just how much is the occult shaping today's entertainment? Shattered is a documentary that explores the influence of today's movies, video games, and music, and how the parents and the church can equip our children to make wise and discerning choices in our media-saturated society. Shattered explores these vital issues with experts such as Steve Russo, Lee Strobel, Bob Walacheski, and more. Hosted by Skip Heitzig, Shattered is a look at the dark side of today's media you can't miss. Get your copy today for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And to order a copy of today's study, all you need to do is get in touch with us at 1-800-922-1888 or at connectionradio.org. Each copy is just $6, and anything you share above that suggested amount will help us continue to bring you these daily studies. You know, we can't do this program without the support of our listeners. So when you call to order any of the resources mentioned today, think about sharing a little extra to help us out. That number again, 1-800-922-1888, to find out more. Or write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
I'm sure that if God told you that you were going to have a baby in your golden years, you'd probably laugh too. And next time, we'll learn how the laughter of disbelief turned to the cry of joy. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.